okay?
I'm fine. She appreciated the question and the hug. While things weren't perfect between them, they were slowly getting better. Kirk was happy that she'd gone looking at daycares. She was grateful that he would take care of Jack while she got the dinner ready. They were working together as a team. They still weren't doing it, but this was hardly the time to worry about that. She ushered her two guys out of the kitchen and went to work, while thin slices of French bread toasted as the base for her assorted crostini, she set the table. She prepared the chopped salad with the idea she would add the dressing right before they ate. Zoe was bringing a Waldorf salad. She got the ham in the roaster and started dicing tomatoes for her take on a caprese topping for the crostini when she heard Kirk calling her. A quick glance at the clock told her it was early, even for Lucas, which meant he had probably just arrived. She went out front. Sure enough, the sleek Mercedes had just pulled into their driveway. "How on earth does he afford that?" she asked. "It has to cost more than he makes in a year." She knew because Stephen had paid a crazy amount for his Mercedes SUV, and it was nowhere near as expensive as a convertible. Kirk picked up Jack.
"I thought you knew. Lucas is family money. He doesn't need to work. He could walk away from his job any time he wanted."
What? But it was too late to get answers. Lucas was already out of his car. As per usual, he was dressed in jeans, a long-sleeved shirt, and cowboy boots. He walked around to the passenger side and opened the door. His guest stepped out. Caitlin, had on a dress the size of a handkerchief and spike heels. She was a pretty brunette, all Lucas's women were attractive, and was carrying a bouquet of lilies. Jen held in a sigh as she forced herself to smile. "Hi," she said as cheerfully as she could. "Thanks so much for coming." Lucas winked at her.
"I can't remember the last time I had Easter dinner. I think I was 12. What about you, Caitlin?"
The 20-something smiled. "Oh, we don't celebrate Easter. My family is Jewish. I looked it up online, though, so I can talk about whatever you'd like." She held out the lilies. "You're Jen, right? Hi." Jen nodded and shook hands, all the while trying to keep from laughing. Jewish? Then her humor faded as she realized they were having ham for dinner. "Do you have dietary restrictions?" she asked, wondering if there was time to send Kirk to the store for a chicken. "I eat pork," Caitlin told her. "I read that's the traditional Easter meal. It's fine." She greeted Kirk and waved at Jack. Lucas took the squirming toddler and swung him around.
"Happy Easter. Did the Easter bunny leave you something good?"
Jack laughed as he flew through the air. Jen watched, wondering how someone so inappropriate when it came to his choice in girlfriends could be so good with her son. Lucas set the boy on the driveway.
"All right. What else do I have in here?"
He handed Kirk the requisite 6-pack of beer, then opened the trunk of his ridiculous car.
"I have something for you, my man."
Jen swallowed her involuntary protest. Whatever it was going to be something that would make her crazy, like the guitar. It was loud, and of course, Jack loved it. She watched as Lucas lifted out a toddler-sized car, but not just a car, she thought with dismay, a pedal car painted black and white, like a police car. "There is no way he's old enough for that," she began, but found herself ignored as Jack rushed to the car and grabbed hold of the sides. Kirk lifted him inside as Lucas squatted next to him.
"Put your feet there, kiddo. Now pedal. You know how to do that?"
Lucas leaned in and showed Jack how to start pedaling. It took him several tries, but he got the car moving. He squealed as he drove it around the driveway. Jen couldn't believe it. She could already see the crashes and injuries sure to follow. "Damn it! Why did Lucas have to always bring the one gift that Jack would love and that would make her crazy? The man had a talent, and not a happy one."
"There's room in the backyard," Kirk said. "Come on, Jack. Drive this way, so we don't have to worry about you going out on the street."
Right, Jen thought grimly, because in the backyard, she only had to worry about him driving through the sliding glass doors. Caitlin smiled at her. "Isn't Lucas the best? He's so thoughtful. He ordered the toy car last week and couldn't wait to bring it over." She sighed. Jen wanted to point out that Lucas was, in fact, old enough to be her father, her not very young father. But why go there? He's the best, she managed, between clenched teeth. She nodded at the flowers. I should get these in water. Apparently, no one had read Jen's email about what time to arrive, because by 2:45 the entire guest list was making themselves at home. She was grateful she'd gone a little crazy with the crostini, because people were hungry and there was no way the ham was going to be ready before 5. In a surprising turn of events, Lucas kept close watch on Jack while Kirk supplied everyone with drinks. Jen was in and out of the kitchen. Zoe joined her and handed over a bottle of champagne. Your mom has been talking about this drink she tried in Phoenix, a French 75. They've been around forever, but I'd never heard of them. Apparently, they go down really smoothly. I don't think I should cook drunk, Jen said, although I'll admit to being tempted. Who could blame you? Or me? Zoe tore off the foil wrapping, then began untwisting the wire around the cork. I keep telling myself that I shouldn't judge. I'm dating my best friend's brother. Why isn't that just as weird as my dad dating your mom? Jen glanced toward the living room, where Miguel and Pam sat on the floor, helping Jack with a puzzle. You really think they're dating? They came to Easter dinner together. What would you call it? Two old people hanging out for companionship? Zoe rolled her eyes. Is that what Lucas sees in Caitlin? Companionship? That's different. He's not as old as... She did the math and swore. OMG, Lucas is only a couple of years younger than my mom, and he has sex all the time. If they're dating? She covered her face with her hands. You don't think they're... Zoe pulled the cork out of the champagne. So, you up for trying a French 75 now? Yes, a big one. You didn't answer the question. Pam's your mom and my friend. My dad is my dad. I don't want to think about that. Honestly, I think they're just getting to know each other right now, but who knows what will happen. She set a bottle of gin on the counter. Steven's not happy. About Mom and Miguel? Zoe nodded. He thinks my dad's a player and your mom will get hurt. I know he used to be, but he's different now. It's hard. When we talk about it, I get uncomfortable. Like I have to defend my dad or something.
Then don't talk about it.
I'm going to take your advice. Zoe got out a martini shaker from the cupboard. Are you concerned about me dating Steven?
No. You're my best friend, and he's a good guy. I don't want any details when you guys take things to the next level, but I'm okay with whatever happens.
She looked toward the family room in time to see Miguel touch her mother's cheek. It's so different when it's parents. Zoe made the drinks, and Jen had to admit, they were delicious. The scalloped potatoes went into the oven, and she sent Zoe to tell Kirk that Jack needed to eat a snack. But instead of her husband, her brother was the one who carried his nephew into the kitchen.
Hey, sis, I found this kid wandering around. You want him?
Jen smiled and took Jack from her brother. She washed his hands, then set him at a small table. After putting out his snack, she sat in one of the small chairs as well and motioned for Steven to do the same.
Are you kidding? He asked. I'll break it.
You'll be fine. Or sit on the floor. The point being, we don't leave him alone here to eat. He's part of the family.
Steven lowered himself to the kitchen floor and eyed the small pieces of cheese and cut-up apple.
That's a good-looking snack you have there, Jack.
The toddler offered a slice of apple. Stephen took it.
Thank you, my man. Much appreciated.
Lucas also called Jack my man, but it was less annoying when her brother did it. She held in a sigh. She was really going to have to get over her dislike of Kirk's partner. If only he didn't date the same type of girl over and over again.
Did you meet Caitlin? She asked.
Yes. She seems sweet.
Jen raised her eyebrows. Stephen grinned.
She told me she'd looked up the meaning of Easter and was ready to talk about it if I wanted.
Did you?
I passed.
He glanced over his shoulder, then lowered his voice.
Mom brought Zoe's dad.
I noticed.
I'm worried about him. He's a player.
He's nearly 60.
Yeah, and Lucas isn't all that far behind, age-wise.
Which pretty much confirmed what she and Zoe had been talking about. Are you really concerned?
I am. Mom hasn't dated anyone since she was, like, 17. There was only Dad. She has no idea what she's getting into. What if she falls for him and he breaks her heart?
You'll beat the crap out of him?
Stephen grimaced. I'm serious.
So am I. Kirk will help. I think the pair of you could take him.
Is this you helping?
No, it's not. Stephen, Mom is a capable adult. Let her screw up before you start trying to run her life.
So you're perfectly fine with her going out with Miguel?
I don't know. I miss Dad. It's weird to see her with another man, but that's my problem, not hers. Look at this from her perspective. She's always been a loving, supportive mother. Maybe it's time we started acting a little bit more like her and accept what's happening.
What is happening?
He asked. She's moving on. 2 days after Easter, Zoe dropped by her dad's place. Mariposa met her at the front door. The little dog danced in circles as she barked and jumped to show her joy at the visit. Zoe dropped to her knees. Hey there, pretty girl. How are you? She picked up the dog and cuddled her. Mariposa smelled the bubble gum. Did you just get a bath? You smell nice. That compliment earned her a doggy kiss. Still holding the puppy on, she walked through the kitchen and found her father making coffee. Hi, Dad. Her father got out 2 mugs.
Do you need money?
What? No. Why would you ask that? I haven't come to you for money since I left college.
You texted me and said you wanted to talk. What was I supposed to think?
That I love you very much and wanted to see you?
Uh-huh. You saw me on Sunday at Jen's house.
The family dinner had been interesting. Good food and fun company, but an odd mix of people. Plus, there had been the distraction of watching her father with Pam. They weren't overly affectionate, but still, there was a definite undercurrent. Stephen had been tense, and then had put Zoe on edge. While she appreciated that he was worried about his mother, the reason for his concern was her father. Talk about awkward. The dinner was good, she said, as he poured them each coffee.
It was.
Pam is nice.
Her father shook his head without looking at her. Don't go there. It won't end well.
Zoe felt herself flush. I have no idea what you're talking about. He glanced at her.
You're about to make a comment about me seeing Pam. I love you, Zoe. I would die for you. But you do not get to comment on who I'm seeing. Pam is a lovely woman. I like her very much. You're not going to come between us.
I don't want to. He raised an eyebrow. Dad, I don't. I agree. Pam is lovely, and you're charming, and I'm just... She drew in a breath. She hasn't dated much. I don't want you to hurt her.
And what if she hurts me?
That doesn't seem very possible, but okay. I don't want either of you to get hurt.
We're adults, he told her. We'll handle it. We don't need your help. He picked up a mug. Zoe, for 5 years I watched you with Chad. Everything about the relationship was a disaster. You put your dreams on hold for him, and at the end, you were left with nothing. We could all see it. But you loved him, so I kept quiet. I respected your choices, even if I didn't agree with them. I'm asking you to extend me the same courtesy.
His words shamed and embarrassed her. She ducked her head. Okay, I won't say anything.
Thank you. How much of this is Stephen and how much of it is you?
She looked at him. What do you mean?
I know Pam's your friend, but you never cared about who I was dating. Is Stephen behind these questions?
Maybe. He shook his head.
Maybe it's time to start thinking for yourself, Zoe.
Chapter 12
We are burning rubber today, Jen said cheerfully as she spotted a parking space by the dry cleaners. Look at how many errands we got done, and it's not even lunchtime. Yay, us. She came to a stop and glanced at Jack in the rearview mirror. He grinned at her. It is impressive, she said.
Later we'll celebrate. What do you say we take that new car of yours for a spin around the neighborhood?
Jack shrieked with excitement.
She laughed. She had to admit that at first she'd been upset about the pedal car, but Jack was enjoying it so much. He'd caught on really fast, and an article she'd read said the combination of having to move his feet while steering was good for motor skill development. And it was a fun way for them to get exercise together. While he pedaled around, she was able to get in some walking. She unfastened her seatbelt, but before she could get out of the SUV, her cell phone rang. She glanced at the screen and saw Kirk's name. "It's Daddy," she said, as she pushed the talk button. "Hi, what's up?"
"Jen, there's been a shooting."
It took a second for Kirk's stark words to sink in. Her heart stopped beating, and she couldn't hear anything. There was an awful sense of drowning, of losing control, of terror. She had to clear her throat before she could speak. "Are you okay?"
"I'm fine," he told her. "It's not me. It's Lucas.
His voice cracked.
"Jen, he took a bullet for me. It's bad. It's really bad. Can you come to the hospital? I need you."
"Of course. I'll be there."
She dug for a pen and wrote down the information.
"I have to find someone to watch Jack," she said. "I'll call as soon as I'm on my way."
"Thanks."
She hung up and did her best to catch her breath. Lucas was shot. Lucas had taken a bullet for Kirk. Kirk was okay, but Lucas had been shot. She was shaking so hard, she couldn't use her phone. She started the car and used the Bluetooth system to call her mom. Pam agreed to meet her at the house. 20 minutes later, Jen was on her way to the UCLA Medical Center in Westwood. She was still trembling and fighting panic with all she had. Later, she told herself. She would fall apart later. Right now, Kirk needed her. It took her over 10 minutes to find parking. She ran into the emergency room and asked for Lucas. The admitting guy wouldn't tell her anything, so she called Kirk and he told her he would come get her. As she waited, she saw dozens of LAPD officers walking into the hospital. They were here to watch over one of their own.
"Jen."
She turned and saw Kirk hurrying toward her. He was pale, with blood on the front of his shirt. Her stomach heaved, and the edges of the room seemed to fold in on each other. She sucked in air as he hugged her tight. She hung on to him, feeling the warmth of his body against hers. Kirk was fine, she told herself over and over again. Her husband was fine.
"What happened?" she asked.
He put his arm around her and led her through the labyrinth that was the ER department.
"We were checking out a lead when we heard a call about officers in trouble. We went to back them up. One second it was quiet, and the next all hell broke loose. There were bullets flying everywhere. I was nearly hit. Lucas pushed me down. We both returned fire. It was only a couple of seconds later I realized he'd been hit."
The trembling returned in full force. She had trouble walking along with him. It could have been Kirk, she thought, trying not to breathe in the hospital smell.
"I called for an ambulance. They got there fast, but there was so much blood."
He led her to a bank of elevators.
"He's already gone up to surgery. We're waiting there."
Tears filled her husband's eyes.
"They asked about family, you know, like they always do. Lucas doesn't have anyone. His parents are dead, and he was an only child. There isn't anyone to call."
Jen thought about all her resentments, how she'd assumed Lucas was a player, a cowboy who lived for danger. But he'd saved her husband's life, risking his own at the same time. "He has us," she told Kirk as they stepped onto the elevator. "We'll be there for him." They got out of the elevator and walked toward a waiting room. There were several LAPD officers there in uniform, along with other men and women Jen assumed were detectives. She knew a few, but Kirk hadn't been on the force long enough for her to have met them all. One of the guys walked over and shook Kirk's hand.
"He's in surgery," the other man said. "He's got a couple of gunshot wounds. None are life-threatening, but one's through his shoulder. He's going to have a hell of a recovery."
They continued to talk in low voices. Kirk held on to Jen's hand so tightly that her bones ached. But she didn't complain. She knew that he was going to have to leave soon to give his statement. that he was only able to be in the hospital for now because Lucas was his partner. But there would be paperwork. She knew that once he left, it would be hours until he could come back. She pulled him to the corner.
"I'll stay," she said. "When you have to go do your thing, I'll stay here until he's out of surgery."
Kirk's gratitude was visible.
"Thanks, Jen."
"I want to be here. And when he gets out of the hospital, he can come stay with us."
"You sure about that?"
She grimaced. "It's not like his flavor of the month is going to stay with him. You'll feel better knowing he's taken care of, and Jack adores him. It will be fine."
And the least she could do, she thought grimly, because she'd misjudged Lucas, and now she owed him.
"Returning women are the most successful demographic at college," Janice said. "I joke it's because they've felt the fear and are ready to change their lives." She smiled.
"Well, you don't fit that profile, given how successful you've already been. I think you would do well here."
"I appreciate the vote of confidence," Zoe told her. Her head was spinning. She'd made an appointment to talk to one of the counselors in the graduate school office and had been blown away by all the various programs. There were so many choices. Janice stapled a business card to the folder she'd filled with information.
"This is just an overview. There's a lot more material online. You have our schedule, with application dates right on top. My email address is on the card. I'm here if you have any questions."
"Thank you. I'm sure I will once I figure out a direction." Zoe shook hands with her, collected the folder, and walked out of Janice's small, cluttered office. Once in the hallway, she paused to catch her breath. She'd come in hoping to be inspired. She hadn't realized her bachelor's degree qualified her for so many different grad programs. She could pursue education if she wanted to go in that direction and stay in the K-12 schools. She could get her master's in a specific subject if she was interested in teaching at a community college. There were even some master's/PhD combined programs if she was feeling especially ambitious. She headed for her car. The campus was large and sprawling, with low, older buildings, newer multi-story buildings, and massive parking lots. It had been built back when land had been cheap. Over time, she was sure parking garages would be added, but for now, the Cal State Dominguez Hills campus was in transition. She felt better now that she'd taken action. Thinking about what to do with her life wasn't very satisfying. Equally troubling was the fact that it had taken her dad to get her moving forward. His comment about putting her dreams on hold because of Chad had stung, probably because he'd been right. She had put aside what she wanted, hoping that Chad would finally pop the question. She'd been so sure she wanted to be with him, that he was the man of her dreams. Now that he was out of her life, she was shocked at how easily she'd been able to move on. Shouldn't it have taken longer, been harder? Sure, there'd been that one afternoon of stupid sex, but she'd regretted it the second it had happened, and she hadn't been tempted to do it again. Seeing him a couple of weeks ago had convinced her she wanted nothing to do with him. She was healed. But while she might be over him emotionally, she still had to deal with the consequences of her relationship. She'd quit her job for a man. The reality was humiliating and awful, but there was no escaping the truth. She could pretty it up by saying there had been another opportunity or that she wasn't sure she had loved being a teacher, but the truth was she'd changed careers because of Chad. Because she'd assumed they were going to get married and she wanted to work at home when they had children. WTF? Now, looking back, she could see the giant red flags that she'd so cheerfully ignored. The fact that he never spent the night at her place, that he rarely wanted her to visit him at his, that they didn't talk about the future, go on vacation, or spend time with his kids. She'd been a fool. Worse, she'd wasted 5 years of her life being a fool. And she'd always thought she was so smart. Zoe started across the parking lot. The afternoon was sunny and warm, perfect late April weather. She told herself the day was too beautiful for her to dwell on the past. She wasn't going to beat herself up for her poor choices. Instead, she was going to move forward, making better decisions. She'd already filled out the paperwork to be a substitute teacher. It would take a while for that to be processed, but she was looking forward to working with kids again. That should help her figure out if leaving teaching had been the right decision or not. She'd nearly reached her car when her phone rang. She dug it out of her bag and smiled when she saw Stephen's name on her screen. Hi, she said.
How did it go? Did you get the information you needed from the counselor?
I did. To be honest, I'm overwhelmed by everything she told me. I'm going to have a lot to think about before I can make a decision.
Want some company while you're contemplating?
His question caused her toes to curl in her shoes. She and Stephen had been seeing a lot of each other. Ever since they'd taken things to the next level, so to speak, they'd been hanging out a lot. She liked being with him. I would love some company.
Good. I still have to fix your stairs. I'll bring my toolbox and take care of that.
He chuckled.
I've been putting it off because I wanted to have an excuse to come by. I guess I'm feeling more secure in our relationship.
She stopped by her car and stared at her phone. Had he really just said that? Admitted he'd been nervous about them? I'm glad, she told him. You should.
Good. You should, too. I'll see you at about 5.
See you then. They hung up. Zoe allowed herself a second of pure happiness and did a little two-step before getting into her car. It wasn't the L word, but it was them moving forward, easily, normally. No secrets, no agenda. Just two people finding out that they liked each other. And it was really, really nice. Sometime close to 4, Pam looked up as Stephen walked into Jen's house. He crossed to her and pulled her to her feet before hugging her.
I just got your text about Lucas. Have you heard anything?
No. Pam sank back on the floor next to Jack. He's still in surgery and will be for hours. They've heard it's going well. His shoulder is the biggest problem. I guess they have to pin the bone or something. It's going to be a long recovery. Jen should be home in a bit. She wants to get Jack through the evening herself, then she'll head back to wait for Lucas to wake up. Stephen sat on the carpet, across from his nephew.
Hey, big guy. How's it going?
Jack beamed at him, then pointed to the puzzle pieces on the floor.
That's a tough one, Stephen told him. Look how green that cat is. What a funny cat. Where do you think this piece goes?
Jack took it and tried it in several spots before setting it into the correct slot.
Good for you, her son said. What a smart guy.
Pam held in a smile. Stephen was good with Jack. If things worked out with Zoe, he could have a couple of little ones of his own, and wouldn't that be nice? She wanted more grandchildren, a point she made whenever it seemed appropriate. She didn't want to push, but she wanted to make sure her children understood that she had needs.
How's Jen holding up? Stephen asked.
She's upset. It could have been Kirk. Something any wife would be panicked about, Pam thought, although Jen seemed to worry more than most. Ever since she'd had Jack, she'd been living on the edge. Not that Pam was going to discuss that with her now.
You said she wants to go back and sit with Lucas after Jack's in bed? He asked. I could come stay with him.
Pam raised her eyebrows. Have you babysat him before?
No, but he'll be asleep. I'm pretty sure I can handle that. If he wakes up, I'll call her.
You're a good man.
I have my moments.
Jack reached for another puzzle piece. She glanced at her son.
Speaking of moments, how are things going with Zoe?
Good.
She waited.
That's all I get?
Pretty much. I like her. I'm enjoying spending time with her. I'm going to stop by in a little bit and see her.
Which meant what? They were just friends? They were falling in love? She desperately wanted to ask, but knew the danger of getting too involved. She'd set things in motion, and now she had to sit back and wait. It wasn't fair, but it was the right thing to do.
Stephen handed Jack another puzzle piece.
Speaking of dating, how's Miguel?
She pressed her lips together.
That is none of your business.
Oh, you get to ask about my love life, but I can't talk about yours.
His voice was teasing, but she wasn't sure how he felt. He'd already warned her off Miguel once.
I'm your mother. It's for the best if we don't discuss me and other men.
His humor faded.
There are other men?
I didn't mean it like that.
Then how did you mean it?
He turned until he was facing her. Mom,
This is a big deal. I worry about you. You were with Dad for your entire adult life. Dating has changed.
Was he serious? How on earth has it changed?
I've been doing some research. Did you know that the fastest growing demographic for STDs is people over 55? It's because you didn't grow up using condoms. When you were young, all you had to worry about was getting pregnant. It's different now. There are all kinds of diseases to think about.
She couldn't decide if he was incredibly sweet or if she should box his ears. You're lecturing me? He winced.
I'm trying to prepare you for what you're facing.
Diseased men?
Maybe. Miguel has been dating a lot longer than you. There have been a lot of women. When you sleep with him, you're sleeping with them, too.
She could see the flush of color on his cheeks and the tension in his jaw. Having this conversation wasn't easy for him, which should have made her feel compassionate and yet did not. And here I thought a threesome would be adventurous, she murmured. Stephen muttered something under his breath.
Mom, I'm serious.
Maybe I am too. He flinched and she decided to take pity on him. All right. Thank you for that odd and slightly gross bit of information. I will keep it in mind, should that ever become an issue. And while you don't deserve to know this, I will share it anyway. You can relax. I'm years away from getting that involved with anyone.
Her son looked at her intently. Mom, you don't know that. Things happen. You could be swept away.
Pam was saved from commenting on that by Jen's arrival. Jack stood and ran over to her, his arms outstretched. She scooped him up. How's my best boy? She asked, then looked at Pam and smiled. Thank you for helping. Pam stood. I was happy to be here. How's Lucas? Out of surgery. It went much faster than they first thought, which is great. He's going to be in recovery a few hours, then they'll take him up to his room. The surgeon said everything went really smoothly. He's going to have a long road until he's back to normal, but he should get there.
Stephen joined them. Mom said you'll want to go back to the hospital tonight. I can look after Jack once he's in bed if you want.
Are you sure?
He'll be sleeping. I can handle it.
She nodded, obviously exhausted. I appreciate it. She set Jack down and glanced at the clock. Can you be back around 9?
I'll be here.
Pam allowed herself a moment of pride in her children. John would have loved this moment. She wasn't sure what he would have thought about Stephen giving her dating advice, though. Of course, if he was around to voice an opinion, she wouldn't have needed it, and wouldn't that have been nice? Mom, you okay? Jen asked. Yes. Just mulling over your brother's worries about me getting involved with other men. She waited for her daughter to shriek, but Jen only set Jack in his small kitchen chair and started preparing dinner for him. You should listen. You were with Dad forever. The world is different now. Which was annoyingly what her son had said. I'm perfectly fine. Jen pulled chicken out of the refrigerator. Mom, if our situations were reversed, you'd be giving us advice. We only want to make sure you stay safe. There were a thousand things she could say. She could get angry, be sensible, or she could shut them down. The latter seemed the best choice for her. She smiled. I gave birth to both of you. I pushed you each out of my vagina. When you can say the same about me, I'll listen. With that, she picked up her bag and left. Stephen arrived right on time, but the second Zoe let him in the house, she could tell something was wrong. He looked tense and more than a little trapped. What? She asked. Stephen set his toolbox on the floor of her entryway and leaned against the wall.
My mother. I can't do it. I can't give her any more dating advice. No matter how carefully I try to explain things, she won't listen. And in the end, I'm the one who's cringing. I don't know how she does it, but she always wins.
Zoe held in a grin as she moved in front of him. Did she torture you?
I can't talk about it. I swear if I repeat what she said, I'll never get it up again.
That would be extremely sad. She put her hand on his arm. If it makes you feel better, I talked to my dad and that didn't go well either.
I doubt he used the word vagina.
No. He told me to mind my own business.
Good advice. He looked at her. You okay with us staying out of it?
She made an X on her chest. I swear that I am. He leaned in and kissed her.
Good. Because I'm not ready to stop making love with you.
Words designed to warm a girl's heart. And other places. He picked up his toolbox.
I'm ready to tackle those stairs for you.
This way. They walked to a small hallway. Stephen carefully lowered and raised the stairs a few times before putting sandpaper on a block. He asked her for an old sheet to protect the floor, then went to work, sanding the side of the old wooden stairs.
I should probably ask what you're doing so I can fix the stairs myself next time, she said as she watched.
Please don't. Then I won't feel important and necessary. If you can do everything yourself, what do you need me for?
She laughed. Assuming your mom didn't damage you permanently, I have several ideas.
I want to hear all of them.
He flashed her a grin, then returned his attention to his work. She liked how he focused on what he did, how he was good with his hands. Her dad had always told her to find a man who was more than just interesting or fun to hang out with. That she would probably get stuck with the cooking and cleaning, and any man in her life needed to contribute too. While Chad had been more than capable, he'd never actually helped much around the house.
What are you thinking? Stephen asked unexpectedly.
That my ex was more flesh than substance.
Should I be worried that you're thinking about him?
No. I've been thinking that he was never especially good for me. He worked as a master mechanic, but he never helped around the house. Like what you're doing with the stairs. She raised a shoulder. I was thinking that I was really lucky to have met you.
Good. Keep thinking that.
He winked. I should probably reward you with dinner.
You probably should. His smile faded. Have you talked to Jen today?
No, I had a missed call from her, but I didn't want to call back while she was feeding Jack. Is everything okay?
Lucas was shot.
What? Oh my God! When? What happened? Is Kirk okay?
Stephen filled her in on the basics of the shooting.
She must be totally freaked, Zoe murmured.
She seemed all right when I saw her a bit ago, but she has to be scared. She wants to go back to the hospital tonight. I told her I'd come over and stay with Jack after he went to bed.
Want company? Zoe asked. I'd be happy to hang out with you. Plus, I'd like to see Jen, even for a couple of minutes.
That would be great. With you along, I don't have to worry if Jack wakes up.
Zoe wasn't sure she could handle the toddler any better than he could, but at least they would have each other. She thought about her friend and how terrified Jen must be right now, dealing with the fact that her husband had almost been shot, saved only by his partner's actions. The world could be a scary place. Maybe Jen was right to fuss about things all the time. Maybe taking that much control was a reasonable way to feel safe.
Chapter 13.
Are you ready? Pam asked as she parked in front of the large Spanish-style house a mere 2 miles from her own condo. She looked down at the dog in her lap. We're going to meet a new friend. She's a papillon named Mariposa. She's very pretty, but not as pretty as you. Just so we're clear. Lulu looked up, her ears forward, as if listening attentively.
Are you nervous? I'm nervous.
She glanced at the house. Lush plants grew all around the front. The windows looked original, and there was a beautiful tile roof. The neighborhood was upscale and older, with families who had lived in the area for generations. She drew in a breath and smiled at Lulu.
You're right. This is just a stall tactic, and not a very good one. Let's go.
She picked up her little dog and got out of her car, then walked around to the passenger side to collect her bag. She set Lulu down on the front path and told her to go potty. Better to do that now than risk an accident and all the excitement. Her business done, Lulu sniffed a few plants before returning to Pam and presenting herself, but first, in the classic pick-me-up position. Pam drew her close. On the bright side, having her dog with her allowed her to focus on something other than her nerves. It's just lunch, she told herself. She would be fine. Miguel was a friend, nothing more. She reached the wide, tiled front porch.
The front door opened before she could knock. Miguel smiled at her.
You came.
He was as good-looking as she remembered. Just as appealing was the way he was holding Mariposa. The two dogs caught sight of each other and strained to start sniffing.
Shall we? He asked.
I'm sure it will be fine. They both lowered their dogs to the foyer floor. Lulu stood her ground, while Mariposa trotted toward her. They stared for a second, then did a quick butt-sniff exchange. Mariposa dropped to the puppy play position, front end down, butt in the air, tail wagging. Lulu glanced at Pam, as if asking if it was okay.
Go have fun, she said.
Lulu barked once and went running toward Mariposa. Then the two dogs took off.
They look good together, Miguel said. I like her sweater.
Pam had dressed Lulu in a lightweight knit top that wouldn't get in the way of romping, but would still keep her warm and protect her from the sun.
The color looks good with her eyes, Pam joked.
Miguel smiled.
You look lovely as well.
A simple compliment, but when delivered in that chocolate velvet voice, she found it difficult not to swoon.
The weather is warm enough for us to eat on the patio, he said. It's this way.
She followed him through a large, open living room to a huge kitchen. The Spanish influence was everywhere, from the high-beamed ceilings to the tile throughout. She would guess the house had been built in the 1920s. The window casings were deep, and several of the doorways were arched. The kitchen itself blended modern touches, upscale stainless steel appliances and quartz countertops, with old-world elegance. The cabinets were heavy dark wood, roughly finished. There were open shelves, and the backsplash was a blend of colorful tiles she would guess were hand-painted. What was it Laura had complained about? That older men were only interested in nurses and purses? From what Pam could tell, Miguel wasn't hurting financially, and he seemed healthy enough. He led her to a covered patio with glassed-in walls and a glass roof. The space was part sunroom, part gazebo. A round table had been set for lunch. She smiled when she saw two dog beds by the door. One looked well-used, while the other was obviously new. It was, she had to admit, an incredibly thoughtful touch that got past her defenses far more easily than any smooth compliment. He held out her chair. She sat down and looked past him to the huge garden beyond. He had to have at least a half acre, maybe a little more, all landscaped. The back wall was stone and covered in bougainvillea. Beautiful, she breathed. Your house is lovely. He sat across from her and poured them each a drink from a glass pitcher filled with what she assumed was juice, sliced limes, and ice.
I like to think that while an ocean view is wonderful, my small garden has its own kind of charm.
It's hardly small, and it does. She took a sip and nearly choked. This is a margarita. He raised one shoulder.
Did you expect less?
A lot less. It's barely noon.
Tequila can be enjoyed any time of the day.
One corner of his mouth turned up.
If you aren't comfortable driving home, we'll call an Uber. I'll get your car back to you later today.
Which was the correct response, she thought. Offering her safe transportation rather than inviting her to stay until she sobered up. She was torn between wondering if she'd misjudged him and the fact that he was far more experienced at this than she was. While she'd wanted to dismiss every ridiculous thing Stephen had told her, she'd been unable to forget his horrifying statistics on STDs and people her age. Not that she ever planned on having sex with Miguel, but still, the news had been off-putting. Lulu and Mariposa came tearing through the patio and raced out onto the lawn. They're getting along well, she said.
I'd hoped they would. He rose. Let me get the first course. I'll be right back.
First course? So there was more than one? Miguel walked into the kitchen. Seconds later, he was back with a beautiful salad of spring greens and tropical fruit. The dressing was both sweet and spicy, and she had to admit the margarita only made everything taste more delicious. This is wonderful, she said. So you cook? He hesitated just long enough for her to start laughing. Never mind. I have my answer.
I never learned to cook, he admitted. I have neither the interest nor the talent. Someone comes in a few days a week to care for the house. She cooks for me as well.
Of course she does, Pam said with a laugh. You have quite the life here.
I try to be comfortable.
I know you divorced a long time ago. No remarriages?
I was busy with work and travel.
She speared a piece of papaya. And young women?
One or two.
That's not what I heard. My son is very concerned about your worldly ways. I wasn't sure I should listen to him, but I'm beginning to wonder if he's right about you.
She was partially teasing and partially testing the waters, so to speak. Miguel put down his fork and leaned toward her.
What would you like to know?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
Then I will tell you things, and you can decide if there is more you need to know.
That seemed fair.
Constance and I were not well suited. I enjoyed my work and the travel, and she was more content to stay home. At first she went with me, but she was shy, and it was torture for her. When Zoe came along, she said she couldn't travel anymore, not with a baby. I told her we would hire a nanny, but she didn't want that, so our lives went in separate ways. By the time we divorced, we were already single, if that makes sense.
It does.
She was a good woman, a wonderful woman, and a kind friend. I think I loved her more after we divorced than I did before. We were able to raise our daughter together, to stay in touch, all without the fights or expectations.
He reached across the table and touched her hand.
What are you thinking?
That I hear the words and I can't begin to relate to them.
She smiled. But it's nice that you and Constance stayed friends.
It was. She was an anchor, in a way. Her and my daughter. I always knew when it was time to come home and see my girls.
The affection in his voice made her like him more. She was glad that he and his ex-wife hadn't hated each other. It spoke well of them as people. She understood that marriages failed, but it bothered her when there was so much anger between couples. It spilled over into everything else in their lives and hurt the children.
You, on the other hand, he said, were married to the same man for how long?
31 years. I met John when I was a teenager. We had 3 children together.
She pulled back her hand and tucked it on her lap. I thought we would grow old together. His death was very unexpected.
Miguel nodded. I would imagine you were devastated. With Constance, we knew the end was coming, yet it was still difficult. Losing a loved one is always hard, regardless of the circumstances. I still miss her.
I miss John as well. Everything is so different now, yet he's still a part of things.
She picked up her fork.
I have the friends I travel with, my wonderful grandson, my children. My life is full.
John is always with you.
I know. I take comfort in that.
She supposed her friends would tell her this was truly awful conversation for what was supposed to be a date. But if she and Miguel couldn't talk about their pasts, then they didn't have much of a future. She was who she was today because she had been with John for so long.
You're strong, he told her.
I suppose I am. I was always fairly competent, but I'm not sure I would have said I was strong. Now I've had to learn to be. I bought my condo and I've moved on.
Do you regret selling the family house?
I didn't sell it. I gave it to my daughter. She lives there with her husband and her son, so I get back all the time.
She laughed. Every now and then I want to complain about the changes she's made, but then I have to remind myself that it's not my house anymore. So if she wants to paint or replace the carpet, I keep my mouth shut.
He chuckled, then rose and cleared the salad. Pam looked out in the yard. Both Mariposa and Lulu were stretched out in the sun, as if they'd exhausted each other playing. Miguel returned with the main course.
Grilled chicken with polenta cakes, he said, as he refilled her glass.
Pam thought about stopping him, then decided she would enjoy herself. There was always Uber.
She took a drink. You never thought about remarrying after Constance?
No, I wasn't interested in settling down.
Too many beautiful women? She asked, her voice teasing.
Yes, there was that. Also, I didn't want to have regrets. I know I hurt Constance and Zoe when I left. We recovered, but there is still a wound. Falling in love again seemed more of a risk than I was willing to take.
I know what you mean.
I can't imagine ever caring about anyone the way I cared about John. He was my world. I don't think I would risk that again.
She was starting to feel the tequila. It was the only explanation for her suddenly blurting out, "I'm not getting married again. I'll always be John's wife." Her words hung out there for several seconds. Pam felt her cheeks heat, but didn't call back the statement. While she knew that a couple of dates didn't mean she and Miguel had progressed past casual acquaintances, and there was no reason to suspect he would ever want to be more, she couldn't help needing to be clear to him, and maybe to herself.
He looked at her, his dark gaze steady.
"Yes," he said slowly. "I can see that."
He pointed to her plate.
"Try the polenta. I think you'll like it. Louisa does an excellent job with it."
She took a bite. "It's delicious." She waited to see if he had more to say about her proclamation, but when it seemed he didn't, she said, "Tell me about where you enjoyed traveling the most."
"Anywhere tropical," he smiled, "and not because of the young women in bikinis."
"Did I say anything?"
"You were thinking it. I could tell."
She laughed.
"I wasn't, but I am now."
They talked about his travels and hers. She told him about the cruise she was taking with her friends in a few weeks. They didn't discuss Constance again, or John, but Pam felt as if she'd been clear on her feelings. Apparently, he was fine with them. Maybe this dating thing wasn't so very hard after all. Zoe waited at the bottom of the little kid slide in the park while Jen helped Jack into position. "You ready?" Jen asked, her tone light. "I'm going to let go." Jack waved his arms, then shrieked with laughter as he made his way down the slide. Zoe caught him and helped him to his feet. He pointed to the slide and raced back to the short ladder, indicating he wanted to go again. He really didn't talk, Zoe thought. Jen wasn't imagining that. But he made himself understood, so that was good. She was careful not to say anything. Jen was barely holding it together. She'd been spending all her free time at the hospital with Kirk's partner. Zoe had stayed with Jack twice already, and Jen's family was helping out when they could.
"You going back to the hospital tonight?" Zoe asked.
Jen shook her head. "Kirk wants me to stay home and get some sleep." She covered a yawn. "I'm not going to say no. I'm exhausted. But Lucas is getting better, and that's what matters." She released Jack, who slid to the ground and giggled. "I've ordered a hospital bed and one of those rolling tables for him. The wound in his leg is healing pretty quickly, so he should be able to get around a little." She wrinkled her nose. "I'm grateful. I'm happy to take care of him, but I don't think either Lucas or I want me to be helping him with a bedpan." "That would be awkward. When does he get released?"
"Tomorrow sometime. Kirk and one of the other detectives will bring him home. He's going to need to stay with us at least 3 weeks, maybe longer."
"Let me know how I can help."
"You've been great," Jen told her. "This has been really hard for me."
She grimaced. "I used to resent Lucas and worry he was leading Kirk astray. Now I worry that Kirk is out there with a temporary partner who might not be so willing to take a bullet." She drew in a breath. "I guess this is a lesson to be grateful for what I have."
Jack ran around to climb the slide again.
"Enough about me," Jen said firmly. "How are you? How are things with Stephen?"
"Good. I'm doing my best to take things slow and be sensible. I don't want to make any Chad-like mistakes."
"You won't. Stephen's nothing like Chad. He's really grounded, and he's lousy at keeping secrets."
"Excellent qualities in a man."
Jen helped Jack into position, then released him. He slid into Zoe's arms.
"So you two do the deed yet?"
Zoe laughed.
"Are you sure you want to know? He is your brother."
"Good point.
Although the way you answered means yes."
She wrinkled her nose.
"I've always been able to ask for details, but now I can't. That's not fair. As the best friend, I have certain rights."
"Let me know what you decide, and I'll go with it."
Jen nodded.
"Are you happy?"
Zoe thought about the question. There was a lot going on right now. She wanted to have more people in her life. She wanted to figure out the next step for her, career-wise, and she was starting what seemed to be a great relationship with a wonderful guy.
"I am. I'm in a really good place right now, and I'm grateful."
Later, when Jack had tired of the slide and swings, Jen took him to her SUV and got him in his car seat. She and Zoe hugged.
"I'm around," Zoe told her. "Whatever you need."
"Thank you. When all this calms down, I want to go have lunch or something. Just the two of us."
"I'd love that."
Zoe walked over to her car. She was about to get in when her cell phone rang. She glanced at the number. While it looked familiar, she couldn't place it.
"Hello? Zoe Saldivar?"
"Yes."
"This is Amanda from Dr. Heron's office. Do you have a second to talk?"
Zoe couldn't imagine why her gynecologist's office would be calling. She'd had her annual 5 months before, and everything had been fine. She went in every 3 months for her birth control shot and had her next appointment lined up.
"Sure, what's going on?"
"I'm so sorry to be calling you. It's just we've heard from the pharmaceutical company that manufactures your birth control injections. There was a problem with several batches, including yours. We need you to come in as soon as possible. We want to give you a pregnancy test and, assuming all is well, give you another shot."
Zoe stood by her car and let the words sink in. Confusion was followed by disbelief, then panic.
"The shot isn't working?"
"No, I'm sorry."
"Sorry?
Sorry? How did that help?"
"But I've been having sex."
"If I could schedule you to come to the office, we can figure out the next step in your treatment."
The next step? She felt her heart pounding in her chest.
Oh, God. She'd had sex with Steven just a few days ago. They'd used a condom, but that wasn't always...
Her breath caught in her throat. No, she thought in horror. Steven wasn't the problem. She'd had sex with Chad nearly 2 months ago, and she hadn't used anything.
Because they'd both been tested, and they weren't sleeping around, and she assumed she was on birth control.
No, she whispered. No,
I'm sorry. Can you make it in the day after tomorrow?
Zoe nodded, then realized the other woman couldn't see her.
Yes, what time?
11:15.
I'll be there.
Zoe hung up and leaned against her car. No, she told herself, this wasn't happening. Or if it was, she wasn't pregnant. She couldn't be. They'd only done it once, she told herself, just that one time. What were the odds?
She got in her car and started the engine, but she didn't pull out of her spot. Instead, she rested her head on the steering wheel and tried to catch her breath.
She was fine, she told herself firmly, fine and not pregnant.
She had to be, because there was no way she was going to have a baby with Chad.
Chapter 14. Jen double-checked the guest room. The regular bed was out in the garage, and the rented hospital bed was in place. There were clean towels in the ensuite bathroom and fresh flowers on the dresser. Kirk had brought in a TV and set it up in the corner. Jen had borrowed a walkie-talkie set from friends so Lucas could call for her if he needed help. She wasn't concerned about the extra work having Lucas in their home would mean. She was more nervous about having to deal with him day after day. Whatever would they talk about? She barely knew the man, and what she knew she didn't like. But he'd saved Kirk, and she owed him. So she would nurse him back to health and bite her tongue when she wanted to say what she was thinking. On the bright side, Jack adored him, and a visiting nurse would come in a couple of times a day for the first week or so, relieving Jen of any intimate tasks. A little after 1 o'clock, Kirk pulled up in his sedan. His friend Matt was with him. Together, they got Lucas out of the car and moving toward the house. They went slowly, one man on either side of Lucas to support him. Lucas had a huge sling on his left arm, probably to keep his shoulder stable. His right leg was bandaged from knee to groin. He was pale and sweating. By the time they reached the front door, Jen was sure he was going to pass out. "Can you carry him?" she asked as they made it into the foyer.
"I'm fine."
Lucas's words came out from between clenched teeth.
"This is nothing. You should see me on New Year's Day. Talk about a hangover."
"You're gray and your eyes are about to roll back in your head," she told him. "You're already a hero." She turned to her husband. "Carry him." Matt shrugged, then put his arm around Lucas's waist. Kirk did the same. Lucas swore at them both, making her grateful her mom was keeping Jack for a few hours. They lifted him, and in less than a minute they were in the guest room. Jen moved to pull back the covers, then looked away as they settled Lucas in the hospital bed. He groaned as he shifted to get comfortable. "What about his pain meds?" she asked Kirk.
"They gave him a shot right before we left the hospital."
Her husband handed her a bag of pills.
"He needs them on a schedule. Can you take care of that, or do you want me to?" "I can handle my own damn pills," Lucas growled. "I don't know why I'm here. I would be fine at home."
"Oh, please." Jen shook the bag. "You wouldn't last a day, and we all know it." She looked at Kirk. "I'll write up a schedule for the pills so we can all know what he gets when. I can set the timer on my phone for the night ones."
"I can take my own goddamn pills," Lucas muttered again as he closed his eyes.
Jen eyed the gray cast to his skin and hoped he wasn't going to pass out. She knew basic first aid, but nothing more. She left the guys to talk to their friend and went to the kitchen. She opened Excel and created a grid for a week's worth of meds, then printed out 3 copies. She'd just finished when Matt and Kirk came into the kitchen.
"He says he wants to sleep," Kirk told her. "I'm going to run Matt back to the station."
Jen's stomach knotted. She wanted to cling to her husband and tell him not to leave her alone with Lucas. But this had been her idea, and she was going to have to figure out how to deal with him sooner or later. "I know you have paperwork," she said cheerfully. "Stay and do that. I'll see you at dinner."
"You sure?"
"We'll be fine. If he starts to bug me, I'll slug him in the shoulder." Kirk kissed her.
"That's my tender-hearted girl."
They left. Jen filled a pitcher with water and carried it and a glass into the guest room. Lucas opened his eyes but didn't speak. She set the water on his table and showed him the walkie-talkie. "All you have to do is push the button and then speak. I'll hear you." She set the pill schedule on the dresser. "I should probably handle the meds for the first day or so."
"You're bossy."
"You're in no position to complain." She put her hands on her hips. "Are you able to focus? Because I'd like to go over some ground rules." Lucas managed a shaky smile.
"I figured we'd get to those. Sure, fire away."
"No drinking, no smoking, no women. I'm happy to cook food you like, within reason. Just tell me what you want. There's no swearing around Jack. He doesn't eat sugar or junk food, and he can't watch TV."
"Jesus, that kid's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life."
She glared at him. "You have no idea what you're talking about. There are studies that show..." He cut her off with a wave of his hand.
"I'm sure there are. I know you're trying to be a good mother, Jen, but give it a rest. You wind yourself so tight, one day you're going to snap."
Even though she told herself she didn't care, his words stung. "You don't know anything about me."
"I know plenty. What are you so damned afraid of?"
"I'm not."
"Yeah, you are. I don't get it. You have it all. A great husband, a beautiful house, and Jack. Why do you always go looking for trouble?"
Her chest got tight and her eyes burned. "You don't get to talk to me like this."
"Babe, I'm high as a kite. I can say anything I want. You're afraid every second of every day. I wish I knew why. I'm sure you do, too, but that's not the real problem. The real problem is Jack can feel it. So can Kirk. He worries."
She swallowed. "What do you mean?" He shook his head, then closed his eyes.
"You think I'm leading him astray, but you're wrong. I'm fighting for your marriage, but man, is it an uphill battle. You don't make it easy, you know that? Jack's a good kid. He's going to be fine. You're the one I worry about. I swear, if you don't get this figured out, you're going to end up in an asylum or divorced. But hell, what do I know? I'm just some..."
She waited, but there weren't any more words. It took her a second to figure out he'd fallen asleep. Just like that. "Don't worry," the nurse said with a smile. "These don't hurt at all." Zoe nodded, as if physical pain from an ultrasound was her biggest concern. It wasn't. The fact that she was having one was a much bigger deal. Nothing about this was fair, she thought. She'd just started to get her life in order. She had a plan, or at least the beginning of one. She was going to substitute teach and look at grad school and maybe quit her job. And what about Stephen? He was a great guy. She liked him a lot. How on earth was she supposed to tell him she was pregnant? She was having a baby, and that baby was going to ruin everything. Her life would never be the same. Stephen wouldn't understand. How could he? She didn't understand. They were just at the good part. The sparkly beginning where they'd figured out there was potential. And now she was going to lose him forever. She lay on the padded table and felt the warm gel on her belly. Tears filled her eyes and ran down into her hair. This wasn't right, she thought frantically. This wasn't fair. She didn't want to be pregnant. But 4 at-home tests had confirmed that sex had consequences. Now she was going to find out how far along she was. Part of her hoped that the baby was Stephen's. Well, that would be a nightmare. It would be a better one than being pregnant with Chad's baby. She didn't want to be involved with him. She didn't want a child with him. But she and Stephen had used a condom, so the odds were... There we are, the nurse said, her voice caring and happy. Your baby is settled in very nicely. Look, you can see the heartbeat. Zoe turned and looked at the monitor. All she saw was a mass of shapes, some light, some dark. She saw the steady beating of a tiny heart. Emotions welled up inside of her, fear.